ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 4 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द अट्रॉसिटीज ऑफ किंग कंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 14। तया विहितं आकण्य कंस परम विस्मित देवकीं वसुदेवं च विमुच्य प्रश्रितो ब्रवीत। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एससी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation. After hearing the words of the goddess Durga, Kamsa was struck with wonder. Thus he approached his sister Devaki and brother-in-law Vasudev. He released them immediately from their shackles and very humbly spoke as follows. Purport. Kamsa was astonished because the goddess Durga had become the daughter of Devaki. Since Devaki was a human being, how could the goddess Durga become her daughter? This was one cause of his astonishment. Also, how is it that the eighth child of Devaki was a female? This also astonished him. Asuras are generally devotees of Mother Durga, Shakti, or of demigods, especially Lord Shiva. The appearance of Durga in her original eight-armed feature, holding various weapons, immediately changed Kamsa's mind about Devaki's being an ordinary human. Devaki must have had some transcendental qualities. Otherwise, why would the goddess Durga have taken birth from her womb? Under the circumstances, Kamsa, struck with wonder, wanted to compensate for his atrocities against his sister Devaki. So today, reading from 10th canto, 4th chapter. So now here we see that Kamsa, he is about to kill the eighth child. The eighth child of Devaki is actually female. Eighth child of Devaki is Yogamaya, who was transferred from the from Nanda Gokul, who was actually born to Yashoda. And when Kamsa was about to kill this eighth baby child, then that child actually slips from Kamsa's hand, and then she actually assumes her original form as Durga. And seeing actually that actually the goddess Durga is born to Mother Devaki, Kamsa is greatly astonished, and his cruelty actually changes, and he is like in a humble mood. He is going to speak to Devaki in Vasudev. So here we see that Kamsa, just before this incident, he was actually so cruel to Devaki in Vasudev, and he was about to kill the newborn child. But by seeing that this actually, by understanding that this baby is actually goddess Durga, his mind actually completely changed. So basically Kamsa actually is thinking that, oh, Devaki is not an ordinary person. How is it possible then goddess of Durga can actually take birth from Devaki? So that changed his mind, and then he is actually speaking in a humble mood. So here we see an important principle that many times we consider somebody as ordinary from our own eyes, but then when we actually understand the greatness of the person, then we actually start respecting that particular person. Sometimes we may be thinking from our own limited perception, because of familiarity, we may take it for granted, some particular person. But then sometimes we may come to know from others that how great that person is, then our attitude of that person actually completely changes. So even we see in the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, the second verse, Krishna says, Jnanam teham sa vijnanam idam vakshyam aseshataha yajnatva neha bhunyonyat jnatavyam avasishyate. Krishna in the 7th chapter, he is saying in this particular verse that now I am going to give you jnanam and vijnanam. I am going to give you, Prabhupada translates it as, I am going to give phenomenal and numinous knowledge, by knowing which there will be nothing which will remain for you to be known. So everything will be included in this. So I was reading some days back Krishna Chakotago's commentary. He says, here the word jnana actually refers to Aishwarya jnana or knowledge of Krishna's opulences, and vijnana refers to knowledge of Krishna's sweetness. So Krishna is saying, now I am going to give you knowledge of my opulences and knowledge of my sweetness. And if you know this, then there will be nothing further for you to be known. So this is something very important. Like we see in many religions of the world, many people, they say that God is great. But actually, Prabhupada would say that people say that God is great, but they don't know how great God is. But here in the Vedic scriptures, they actually tell how great the personality of God it is. And not only that, Vedic scriptures, they also tell that not only God is so great, but God is also very sweet. Because sometimes people have the notion that God means one who is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. So he is the creator, maintainer and annihilator. But actually, apart from these activities, God has his personal activities in which he actually engages in divine pastimes with his loving devotees. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, in so many places, and Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the greatness of God and also about the sweetness of God. We have to actually understand both, because if a person only understands the greatness of God, then one may just have an attitude of fear and awe and reverence to the Lord. One may mainly approach the Lord out of fear. And if a person has only the knowledge of sweetness of the Lord, then one can tend to be, one may become a sahajiya. He may take the God for granted. But that's why we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, it talks about the greatness of God and sweetness of God. For example, I'll just remember a few verses. Like there is a verse in the 11th canto where Uddhava is actually praying to Krishna. He says, Tasmat bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam sarvagyam ishwaram akunta vikunta dishnyam nirvinnadir ahamuhe vrijinabhitapto Narayanam Narasakam Sharanam Prapadye. So Uddhava is actually talking about 8 qualities of Krishna. And especially I would like to highlight about 2 qualities. That Uddhava is saying, Narayanam Narasakam Sharanam Prapadye. He says, I surrender to Lord Krishna who is Narayan. Here the word Narayan means one who gives shelter to Lord Narayan. So Lord Narayan or Mahavishnu, from his skin pore, from his skin pores, so many universes are emanating. In fact, just one breath of Mahavishnu is actually the life of Lord Brahma. So you can understand the greatness of Mahavishnu. So from his skin pores, so many universes are emanating constantly. But Lord Krishna is the shelter of Lord Narayan or Mahavishnu. So this means, like, you can understand the greatness of Lord Krishna, one who gives shelter to Mahavishnu. But usually in this world we see that somebody is very great. Usually he may not have time for an insignificant person. Like for example, suppose somebody is a prime minister or a chief minister or a president or a CEO. He may not have time for a ordinary peon. But immediately in the next word, Uddhava is saying, Narayanam Narasakam. But Narasakam means one who is a friend of the infinitesimal living entity. So Hridayanand Maharaj writes in the purport, usually a great person does not have time for an insignificant person. But Krishna gives shelter to Lord Narayan. But at the same time, he is also the friend of the infinitesimal living entity. So this is such a hope-giving thing. Here Uddhava is talking about the greatness of Krishna and also about the sweetness of Lord Krishna. And another verse in the, just on a similar line. In fact, when a person becomes a genuine devotee of the Lord, in fact, he also has the same qualities gets the same qualities of the Lord. I was reading one chapter in the fourth canto. When Prithu Maharaj was entering his city, it was described that Prithu Maharaj was welcomed by all the important persons of the city and also by the very common people. So Prithu Maharaj was loved by all the important persons and also by the common people. So here we see that even a devotee also exhibits the same qualities. Prithu Maharaj was even the great important person of the city, they also had so much of affection for Prithu Maharaj, and even an ordinary person also had same affection for Prithu Maharaj. So similarly, a devotee also is great and also sweet, in the sense that he can also attract somebody who is materially opulent, etc. But he can also attract the attention of an ordinary person. Or devotees, when a person becomes a genuine devotee, exhibits these qualities. And we see, us remembering the very first, if we read the first three verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse, it is described, Janmadyasya yatonvayad itaratas chartesh abhignyasvarat. The first word describes who is actually absolute truth. What is absolute truth? It is described, absolute truth is that who is the, from whom everything emanates, Janmadyasya. He is the creator, maintainer, annihilator. Itaratas chartesh abhignya swarat. He is supremely independent. Even the demigods in this, they may have some independence, but they are not supremely independent. But the absolute truth is one who is supremely independent. And abhignya swarat. Abhignya swarat means he is completely conscious of every nook and corner of the whole material manifestation and also the spiritual manifestation. And even the great sages, they are actually bewildered. They cannot understand the pastimes of the Lord. So the first verse describes what is absolute truth. If you read this first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand how great is the absolute truth. How great is the supreme personality of God. But the second verse describes Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kimva Pare Rishvara Sadyo Hrid Avarudyatetra Kritibi Susrushbit Takshana. The second verse describes the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is described Sadyo Hrid Avarudyatetra Kritibi Susrushbit Takshana. So that absolute, we can understand the greatness of the absolute truth by reading the first verse, from whom everything emanates, who is the source of creation, maintenance, annihilation, and he is completely conscious, and even he is completely independent. But that supreme personality of Godhead can be captured within the heart of a living entity if a person simply gives oral reception to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sadyo Hrid Avarudya Tetra. That means the absolute truth becomes captured in the heart of a person, captured immediately. Sadyo means immediately. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes captured in the heart of a person who actually listens to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says that this actually shows the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam, because when a person listens to Srimad Bhagavatam, he gets the power to capture the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose greatness is described in the first verse, the source of everything, completely independent, etc. But in the next verse, the third verse, it actually talks about the sweetness of Srimad Bhagavatam. It says that Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bahuka. It is described that please drink this. How did that verse start? Third one. Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Shukamukad Amrutam Dravasamyutam. It is described that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. Especially it is described, usually a fruit, in this world a fruit has, although a fruit may be sweet, but a fruit also has some inferior parts. Like for example, you may take a mango. Mango is the king among all the fruits, but still there are some inferior parts like the skin and the seed. Suppose if you take pineapple, so pineapple, many people may like it, but then you have to go through the, like you have to peel the skin, it may take some time. So some fruits, usually fruits have some inferior parts. Like, but in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that this fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge does not have any inferior parts. It is actually Amrutam Drava Samyutam. It is actually liquid nectar. So again, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, so this verse talks about the sweetness of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see that actually anything which is connected with Lord Krishna is actually great and sweet. Krishna is actually great and sweet. He gives shelter to Lord Narayan, and he is the friend of the infinitesimal living entity. And similarly, even the book Srimad Bhagavatam is so great that he can actually, by listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, one can actually capture the heart of, one can capture the Supreme Personality of God in his heart. And it is also very sweet. In fact, and not only the book Srimad Bhagavatam, even the pure devotees, they also have the same characteristics. Like, I was again remembering another verse about Prithu Maharaj. It is described that Prithu Maharaj, he had, in his spiritual knowledge, he was actually equal to Brihaspati, who is the spiritual master of the demigods. Brihaspatim Brahmavade. That Prithu Maharaj was actually equal to Brihaspati in his spiritual knowledge. But in the same verse, the next line describes that Prithu Maharaj was equal to Brihaspati in the spiritual knowledge, but at the same time, Prithu Maharaj was actually the follower of the Brahmanas and devotees. So we see, usually it is described that scholarship and submissiveness go ill together. Usually, like in any field, if somebody is having a particular skill in a particular field, many times he may not have that submissive attitude, because usually a person tends to become proud. But here it is described, Prithu Maharaj was actually equal to Brihaspati in spiritual knowledge, but he is actually the follower of the Brahmanas and the devotees. So he had scholarship, and also he was submissive to the devotees. And we see that, in fact, like there is another verse about Prithu Maharaj, that it is just said that Prithu Maharaj, he had so much of power that people would be so afraid of him. Just like the example is given, just like fire, like when there is fire, like heat and light are produced by the help of fire. So similarly, when Prithu Maharaj was so powerful that, I just forget the exact example, but Prithu Maharaj was so powerful that he actually, even the great kings, they would be so afraid of Prithu Maharaj. They were like completely following Prithu Maharaj. But the, immediately in the next verse it is described that Prithu Maharaj, although he was so powerful, but he was also tolerant like Mother Earth. In fact, it is described, Mother Earth is a personification of tolerance, because like so many people, they dig the Mother Earth, they excavate Mother Earth to bring out oil, etc. It's all actually painful to Mother Earth. So many people actually torture Mother Earth, but still Earth is so tolerant. So usually when a person is powerful, he may not tolerate anything, because why should he tolerate? Because if he is so powerful that he can actually, if somebody is opposing him, he can immediately beat him, he can immediately kill him. So power and tolerance go ill together. And usually if a person is tolerant, if a person does not retaliate, if a person is tolerant, then usually people get the notion, because like he does not have any power, so that is why he is tolerant. So when a person is powerful, that shows the greatness of a person. When a person is tolerant, that is like the sweetness of a person. So Prithu Maharaj was, he was so powerful, at the same time he was tolerant. It's like Prabhupada explains in the purport. That is why a devotee is like a lion at chase, and he is also like a rose. He is like a lamb at home. He is like hard like a thunderbolt, and he is like a soft like a rose. Like one Srila Prabhupada came in some airport. So some devotees had arranged for something very expensive car to take Srila Prabhupada to the temple. Some reporters came, and reporters asked Srila Prabhupada, "So you are just a Swami, so why do you need some Rolls Royce car, why do you need such an expensive car for you to travel?" So Prabhupada said, "Actually, what is this car? This is just some tin and rubber. A representative of the Lord should be given actually car made of some diamonds and gold." The reporter did not expect such a reply. So Prabhupada was so heavy with him. And then Prabhupada went to the temple. So Prabhupada, the devotees had arranged for the temple was a small temple. So devotees had arranged for some accommodation in some good 5-star hotel or something for Srila Prabhupada to stay. But Prabhupada said, "No, I don't want to stay in the hotel. I just want to stay with the devotees." And the devotees said, "No, but we don't have proper facilities here." And Prabhupada said, "It's all right. I would prefer to stay here with the devotees. I would prefer to stay in the temple." Like that he said. So the devotee was writing how just few moments before, how Prabhupada was so heavy against that reporter. It appears that Prabhupada was so challenging. But when he came in the association of devotees, was like one among the devotees, was so tolerant and accommodating. And we see here Kamsa. So Kamsa actually immediately released Vasudeva and Devaki, and he very humbly, he's going to speak to Vasudeva and Devaki. So actually, sometimes, like people, especially this quality of humility, actually, in the case of Dayaram Prabhu once mentioned, we practicing devotees can never exhibit humility. At the most, we can only exhibit honesty. Because when we say that, "Oh, we are so fallen," it's actually not humility, but it's actually honesty. So when great devotees say that, "Oh, I'm so fallen," like Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in so many bhajans, "So for so long I've been trying to serve my senses. I was a servant of lust, greed. So that is actually humility, because he was never the servant of those qualities. He never had those anarthas. But in our case, when we say like that, it is actually, it is honesty. So in one sense, we can at the most actually exhibit only honesty and not humility. Like the, again, there is a, in one of the prayers offered by the demigods, it is described that, Yenye Aravindaksha Vimukta Manina. So the many people, many jnanis, they consider themselves to be liberated. Vimukta manina means many people consider themselves to be liberated. But actually they are not liberated. And because they have rejected the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, because they are not practicing devotional service, they will actually fall down from their so-called liberated position. So there Vishnu Chakravarti mentions that vimukta manina. So many jnanis, many people consider themselves to be liberated, but they are actually not liberated. But a devotee, he is actually liberated, but he actually considers himself to be conditioned by the modes. So that is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Like I was reading one verse in the fourth canto about Dhruva Maharaj. Like Dhruva Maharaj, in that chapter, Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead in the 12th chapter. There is a verse in the beginning, it is described that Dhruva Maharaj, he started performing so many austerities in order to exhaust his previous pious pious reactions and the sinful reactions. So Dhruva Maharaj was thinking that, oh, I have so much of like past karma in the form of maybe pious activities and sinful activities. So I have to exhaust all those pious, all those reactions. So thinking that in order to exhaust those past reactions, he wanted to actually perform so many austerities. So there again, Vishnu Chakravarti mentions, actually, Dhruva Maharaj was a pure devotee. He does not have any past reactions of his pious activity or sinful activity. But he is only thinking himself to be, he has so much of past pious reactions, sinful reactions. So in order to exhaust them, he is actually, he is feeling that, oh, I have to perform so many austerities. So it is actually Dhruva Maharaj's humility. So this is actually a very important point. In fact, Govind Prabhu very often he speaks in his classes. Like sometimes in a devotee, in a sadhaka, in a practicing devotional service, sometimes he may deep within the heart, he may have an expectation. Oh, because I am performing devotional service, I should not get any difficulties, or I should not get any, like, so even if I get some diseases, oh, because I am practicing devotional service, I should go immediately. So sometimes there is an expectation within the heart of a person. Like sometimes there are certain stories, like we hear that, oh, this person performed this puja to Narsingdev, his cancer went away. So the stories are good, but then if we start expecting, oh, I should also, my cancer should also go away, or my problem should also go away. And suppose if the opposite happens, but if the problems continue to be there, then a person starts doubting the process of devotional service. Then a person actually becomes psychologically atheistic. So you would mention that there are two kinds of atheism, philosophical atheism and psychological atheism. Philosophical atheism means a person thinks, oh, I don't believe in God. He openly says. But psychological atheism is actually, is more difficult to deal with. So he may have been practicing devotional service previously, but because of some reason, he becomes against the process of devotional service. So one of the reason, the main reason is a person because starts expecting, oh, because I'm practicing devotional service for so many years, maybe I should not get any problems. So all my reactions must have gone, so I should not get any problems. I mean, suppose some bad thing comes, then a person starts doubting and he becomes actually psychologically atheistic. So this is because there is an expectation within the heart that maybe I should not get any problems because I'm practicing devotional service. So this is actually more difficult to deal with. Like, I remember when a person is like philosophically atheistic, he can easily make friendship with such a person. He can be easy to deal with such a person. But when a person is like psychologically atheistic, you have to be very sensitive dealing with such a person. Because emotions are involved. So basically, the underlying, what is the reason? Because the underlying cause is a devotee is having the expectation, because I am practicing devotional service for so many years, maybe I should not get any problems. So all my reactions should go away. But here we see the devotees like Dhruva Maharaj. What is the status of Dhruva Maharaj? Dhruva Maharaj, he was directly told by Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu told he will rule the planet Earth for 36,000 years. Like Prabhupada writes in the purport that usually the Lord actually never gives material benedictions to a devotee. But in the case of a very exalted pure devotee whom he trusts 100%, he actually even gives material benediction, because he knows that this person is such a trusted devotee, even if he gets so much of material benedictions, he will never go away from the path of devotional service. So the fact that Lord Vishnu gave so much of material benediction to Dhruva Maharaj, in the form of like, you will rule the planet Earth for 36,000 years, that shows that how Dhruva Maharaj was such a trusted devotee of the Lord. And Lord also gave spiritual benediction that after ruling this Earth for 36,000 years, you will come back to my abode. In fact, there is one purport in the beautiful purport in the fifth canto. So Prabhupada writes there, in order to make Dhruva Maharaj as the most important person in the whole universe, Lord Vishnu made Dhruva Maharaj as the king of the pole star, Dhruva Loka. And then he made all the planets, because all the planets circumambulate pole star. So, in order to make Dhruva Maharaj as the most important person as the whole universe, Lord Vishnu actually made Dhruva Maharaj as the king of the Dhruva Loka, pole star. So, here we see that Dhruva Maharaj is such a trusted devotee of the Lord. He got the highest of material benediction, highest of spiritual benediction. But in his heart, he is not having any expectation that, all my pious credits and sinful reactions have already gone by my devotional service. He is not thinking like that. He is thinking that, I have to exhaust all my pious reaction and sinful reaction, so I have to perform more austerities, I have to intensify my devotional service. He is thinking like that. So that is actually the nature of a devotee, that although he is actually executing devotional service, he is not having any expectation that all my reactions are still are already gone. So that is actually the humility of Dhruva Maharaj, as pointed out by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. In fact, this particular, I will just conclude with this particular verse. This particular humility of a devotee is exhibited by Prithu Maharaj in a very beautiful verse in the fourth canto. Here, this chapter, Prithu Maharaj meeting with the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras, they actually come and give their association to Prithu Maharaj because Lord Vishnu told that very soon you will get the association of perfected devotees, perfected souls. So in order to fulfill the words of Lord Vishnu, the four Kumaras came and gave their association to Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj, and then he actually, he submits to the four Kumaras in a very humble attitude. And then he is requesting the four Kumaras to enlighten him in the path of devotional service. Then the four Kumaras, they enlighten Prithu Maharaj in the path of devotional service. Then after hearing from the four Kumaras, then Prithu Maharaj finally expresses his gratitude to the four Kumaras. Especially, I will read the concluding verse. In the concluding verse, Prithu Maharaj is saying, Yair idrishi bhagavato gatiratma vada ekantato nigamibi pratipaditana tushyant adabra karuna svakrutena nityam konama tat pratikaroti vinoda patram. Prithu Maharaj continued, how can such persons who have rendered unlimited service by explaining the path of self-realization in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whose explanations are given for our enlightenment with complete conviction and Vedic evidence, be repaid except by folded palms containing water for the satisfaction? Such great personalities can be satisfied only by their own activities, which are distributed amongst human society out of their unlimited mercy. So here Prithu Maharaj is actually pouring out his heart. He actually wants to show his gratitude. He's saying, actually, how can those people who give transcendental knowledge, he's saying that you have actually given the conclusion of the Vedic scriptures, you have given the transcendental knowledge about the path of devotional service to me, and how can anybody repay the debt of transcendental knowledge which he receives from the superiors, which he receives from the spiritual master? He's saying, actually, it is never possible. So, especially he's saying, ko nama tat pratikaroti vinoda patram. He's saying that, actually, I can never repay that debt. So, better you only be satisfied with your own activities, because I can never repay the debt. And then he's saying, vinoda patram. So Prabhupada comments on this particular verse, on that particular word. He says that actually vinoda patram means, it means a joker. That is, if a person thinks that he can actually repay the debt of transcendental knowledge, oh, I have received this transcendental knowledge, maybe if I serve for maybe 10 years, if I serve for 15 years, or if I serve for 25 years, maybe I can repay the debt of transcendental knowledge which the spiritual master has given. If a person thinks like that, such a person is actually a laughing stock. Such a person is a joker. Because this gift of transcendental knowledge can never be repaid. So Prithu Maharaj is saying that actually I can never repay the debt of transcendental knowledge. Better you only be satisfied with that gift. In fact, he is speaking this particular verse just two verses before Prithu Maharaj. He is speaking another verse. He says, actually, I offer my life force, I offer my kingdom, I offer my wife, I offer my children, I offer my treasury, everything unto you. He feels so much of gratitude to the four Kumaras. He is saying that I offer everything for your satisfaction. So there, Prabhupada comments, he is saying that I offer my kingdom and I offer my treasury. So when you say that I offer my kingdom, that actually includes everything. All the paraphernalia, all the treasury, everything is included in that. But Prabhupada comments, he says that actually, usually kings would have some private treasury called as Ratna Bhanda for their own personal expenses. Like, he's saying that I not only offer my kingdom, I even offer my personal treasury. Like sometimes, like we as practicing sadhras, we may offer something, but we keep something for ourselves. Like we may offer some service, but we, like sometimes we keep some mahaprasad. I'm not trying to point out or make someone guilty, but just to explain this particular verse to highlight the greatness of Prithu Maharaj, I'm just saying. So basically, we offer some service, but then we keep something for ourselves. But Prithu Maharaj is saying that I even offer my personal treasury too. But it is said, like in the Nectar of Devotion, there's, I think, the 8th chapter, Rupa Goswami enlists the offenses to be avoided. like one of the 64 items, one of the item is actually one should avoid offenses in the practice of devotional service. So Rupa Goswami lists various offenses from different scriptures. He actually gives a list of 10 nama aparad, and he actually gives a list of seva aparad. Seva aparad means the offenses which you perform while worshipping the deities. He gives a list of 32 offenses from, sing from Varaha Puran, some 64 offenses from Padma Puran, like how one should not like talk, one should not talk before the deity, one should not shout at another person before the deity, one should not enter the temple with a shoes, this thing. So, like there's so many offenses he actually lists. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the Chaitanya Shikshamrit, he actually classifies all these offenses into 5 categories. He classifies all the offenses into 5 categories which actually reflect the mood behind the offenses. Like sometimes you may see like, what is wrong in talking before the deity, or what is wrong in like showing our leg before the deity. Like what one may think seems very superficial. Huh? But actually the attitude is important. He says, he classifies offenses into 5 categories. First is, he says, disrespect. Disrespect means, like suppose if a great person is there, if you don't recognize the presence of the particular person, if you are talking to another person, that means in the inherent attitudes you are disrespecting the particular person. So one, he lists certain offenses come in the category of disrespect. And another category he mentions is like lack of determination. That means like, suppose, for example, a person is like offering aarti, and then he feels hungry, so in another hand he starts eating samosa. Or suppose a person is worshipping deity and so he feels hungry, so let me eat some and then come. That means like lack of determination. So that is the attitude. Like eating prasad is definitely devotional service, but then like when you are serving a person, so because of lack of determination, you start doing something else. And then he mentions another, this thing is, of course, another two I forget, but another category he mentions is pride. Pride means, he says, suppose somebody may offer some service to the Lord, but that if the attitude is, I am offering that service, that means he is committing an offense. Suppose somebody gives a lot of donation, and then he thinks, I have done so much to the Lord. If a person is thinking like that, if that attitude of pride is there, then there is an offense. I remember in one class, Radhavalla Prabhu mentioned, like there was a story of a king in Srirangam. Once a king actually donated, he donated lot of jewels for the service of Lord Ranganath. Some cart loads of jewels and gold. But then Lord Ranganath told the pujari, I don't want any of these jewels, send them back to that particular king. So then the king was taken aback, because he was actually feeling so much of proud, I am giving so much of donation to the Lord. So Lord actually was not attracted by that attitude of pride. So because of that, he actually rejected that service. So here we see, because why I am telling you this, because Prithu Maharaj is speaking this particular verse, he is saying that I offer my kingdom, I offer my life force, I offer my family, I offer my even my private treasury, everything unto you. And then after that he is saying that actually we can never repay the debt of transcendental knowledge. Like first, suppose somebody is saying that I can never repay the debt of transcendental knowledge, but he may not have anything. Like Prithu Maharaj is like, after offering everything at his disposal, then he is saying that I can never repay the debt of transcendental knowledge. That means there is no attitude of pride in the case of Prithu Maharaj. He is not thinking, I have done so much. But he is saying that even though I gave the whole kingdom, everything unto you, but actually I can never repay. If a person thinks that we can repay the debt of transcendental knowledge, it's actually such a person is like a joker of a laughing stock. So that is like this verse, we can see, like this is a verse which says that how like we in book distribution we sell Bhagavad Gita for 110 rupees. But many times people say, why is such a huge price? Why not give a discount? But actually, the gift of transcendental knowledge which is there in these books, it is so valuable that you can actually never pay any price. It is actually, you can never, even if you pay millions of crores, you can actually never buy Bhagavad Gita, because this transcendental knowledge cannot be repaid by any amount of wealth. Of course, it is for our understanding, we can tell the new person, but at least we have to remember this. So this is the, like, we can see the real humility exhibited by devotees like Dhruva Maharaj and Prithu Maharaj. They are actually, Dhruva Maharaj is actually a pure devotee, but he is thinking that, oh, I have so many sinful reactions and pious reactions. And Prithu Maharaj actually offering everything. After that he is saying that, actually I can never repay the depth of transcendental knowledge. So this is the, actually the real humility. So I think I'll stop here. Grantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki cha, Srila Prabhupada ki cha.
Radhika Vallabh Prabhu ki jai.